Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Of course, Congress is very much a part of the debate over ISIS, the U.S. war plans for the Middle East, talk of an international coalition, and the renewed global war on terror, all right in the middle of an election campaign. House and Senate lawmakers have to weigh their principles against votes back home. It's an unusual moment for an off-year election. This time, politics may not all be local. Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us now. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, John.
So how are senators and congressmen being affected by this? Some are pushing the president harder. Some are calling for restraint.
Yeah, and there are going to be some votes this week, but they'll probably be quick. Look, Congress is likely this week to vote on something very limited, the thing the president asked for, authorization to arm and train Syrian rebels and factions to fight ISIS. What they're probably not going to do is a broad authorization to use of military force, but more and more members of Congress want that. They're likely to do it after the election, probably in a lame duck. There's going to be some hearings this week as well. Expect to see senior administration officials talking ISIS on the Hill, John.
Does this issue bear on whether the GOP will take control of the Senate or not at this point? Has that changed at all?
You don't know. Every single issue bears on that, and you just don't know. Traditionally, national security issues don't bear on elections too much, but we'll see. Hey, I wanted to run down a list, John. Can we do this? Because, look, we're 7 weeks away from Election Day. There are so many races that could flip the Senate. And I thought maybe you and I could just run down a quick list here, get the landscape.
Sure. Well, bearing in mind that the magic number for the GOP is 6, go for it.
That's right, 6. And why don't you just keep a sheet, because I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. You kind of keep score, and at the end we'll see how close the Republicans are going to be to taking the Senate.
I can remember. You write it down.
Okay, well, use that trap of a mind that you have. Let's start in West Virginia, South Dakota, and Montana. John, those are all Democratic states. Those are going to flip. I'm here to tell you. Those are almost going to flip. So give the Republicans 3 right off the bat.
Okay.
Now let's go across the South. Other Democratic states that could flip. Arkansas, Mark Pryor, the incumbent since 2002 against Tom Cotton. Pryor has led earlier in this race, but Cotton has a consistent narrow lead now of about 2-3% on average. Pryor is leading with all registered voters, so he's dying to get out the vote because only likely voters are the ones who are likely to vote, right? Louisiana, just south of there, Mary Landrieu's the incumbent, and Congressman Bill Cassidy is the challenger there. Cassidy's got a lead on Landrieu. She's been suffering from accusations that she doesn't actually live in New Orleans, that she's a creature of Washington. Now, she has massive name recognition, so you got to expect Landrieu to surge at the end, but she is behind right now.
And Cassidy's lead is within the margin of error, though, in Louisiana, right?
And a lot of these are, and that's why this is going to be so very close. All of these are polling averages, and most of them are within the margin of error. So that's part of what you have to remember with this. The same up in North Carolina, where Kay Hagan, the Democrat, has had a consistent and narrow lead over Tom Tillis. He's the Republican Speaker of the North Carolina House. Now, she's under 50%, way below 50%. She's underwater for an incumbent. It's a terrible position to be in, but her lead has been consistent, about 2% on average over Tillis, and again, within the margin of error, like you said. We jump over to Iowa, where Tom Harkin, the famous liberal senator, is retiring after 5 terms. Congressman Bruce Braley was expected to win this race, but he's in a fight against Joni Ernst. She's a state senator. That race has been a wash in outside money, like so many others have. Braley has a consistent lead, but just 1.5%, like the others, like you said, John, within the margin of error. But that one is tilting Democrat.
And Iowa has never elected a woman for a statewide office in history.
No, that's exactly right. And that's sort of one of the aspects of firstness that Joni Ernst is playing up in her campaign, too. If you jump up to Alaska, this is a tough one. Mark Begich is a Democratic senator in a red state. Dan Sullivan's his challenger. The polling is terrible in Alaska. Nate Silver just wrote an article last night about how bad the polling is. It's almost all partisan. So we actually don't really know. It seems like Begich is trailing a bit, but the polling there is so unreliable. That one's a throw up your hands. We just don't know. And in Colorado, Mark Udall is defending a Democratic seat. He's the Democratic senator. The challenger is Congressman Cory Gardner. Udall has a pretty good lead here. He's got an average of about 4%. He wants Latino voters to come out, and he was upset when the Obama administration said they're not going to make those executive changes on immigration. before the election. So that's Mark Udall. Real quick, we're just going to run back across. Republicans have to hold the states that they already control, and there are a couple of states that Republicans could lose. How about Georgia? Michelle Nunn against David Perdue. That's a red state. Now, Michelle Nunn is trailing by a couple, about 2% on average, but she has a really credible race. And of course, Kentucky, the crown jewel, Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, running against Allison Lundergan Grimes. She was beating him earlier in this race, John. McConnell is pulling away. It's his
McConnell
dream.
Can't lose. McConnell
he,
can't
well,
lose.
Well, he could have, but he's pulling away now. His lead looks like it's about 5%.
But what's the matter with Kansas? Kansas is the weird thing at this point.
So weird. Pat Roberts, the incumbent, looks like he could lose, but probably not to a Democrat. The Democrat dropped out in this race. Greg Orman is the independent. They're polling about neck and neck. If Roberts loses, what does Orman do? Who does he caucus with? Another one. Throw up your hands.
Well, and look at his Rolodex, that's for sure. A lot of people will be calling him if he wins. Todd Zwillich, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.